didn't know what that. I would ask guys, what do you preach on? No one would tell me. So I was like, okay, how's this going to go? But what I did hear from DJ Now, the first week that we were gone, they said, man, the people in that church are wonderful. And I said, they are. So I don't know what he preached on. So I guess, you know, you guys don't either. So I guess he was really good. So, is that what he did? Okay. Awesome. Okay, like Tokyo, because that's where they're trying to minister, right? Awesome. And it was good. So then, that's awesome. He'll even like that more as a DJ. They remember what he said. And he'll be like, all right. So last night, and then we got back from vacation, and we had a wedding, and last night we had a reunion, Jen's high school reunion. I think it's the fifth year high school reunion. Getting brownie points here. So we had our reunion last night, and we show up, and they had the dinner. We were a little bit late, and they had this dinner, and they asked me to pray. So I prayed for the dinner, and then because we're kind of like, you go to the reunions, and we're like the Christian people, right? So they asked us to pray, and they asked us, we're those Christian people. And then during the night, kind of an engineering joke. Sorry, Gil, nothing against engineers. But that's not even a joke, it's just the story. So at the end of the night, they're cleaning up, and there's some balloons at the top of the ceiling that were all tied together on a string, and no one could get them. So one of the engineers got some hangers, and they started throwing these hangers up to try to hook the string that was holding them all together. He's an engineer. So he did it about 10 times, and I'm looking at it. I said, you must be an engineer. He goes, I am. I said, yeah, because it took about 10 times, and you still didn't get it right. So I took one of the hangers, and I was watching him how he was flicking his wrist. I took one of the hangers, and this was crazy, but I just kind of shoved it up, and it caught right away and came right down. I said, that's because I'm not an engineer. And then the other guy said, well, no, that's because you're the prayer guy. And I'm like, okay. It was just kind of funny. So let's just open up in prayer this morning, because this morning, as we get in today, as what I talked about looking at doctrine, I started thinking about this, well, a couple weeks ago, and many times I go over this, but today, as we talk about and look about the inspiration, the inspired Word of God, this is something that I just couldn't say, hey, this is one week and done. Because my whole world is based on God's Word. My worldview, my life, my thoughts, how I raise my family, how I portray what we try to do, is all based right here on God's Word. So if we don't get this one right, everything else in what we believe. So I wanted to really just step in and look at the scripture of the inspired Word of God, and then look and take God's Word of what we know of God's Word, why we have it, and kind of roll down that history, because what we're finding. Let me open the prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we can be together. And Lord, the people here are wonderful. Lord, our community, we live in a great community. As I walk through the field over here this morning, praying for the church, Lord, just listening to the birds, how lucky we are to be here in a peaceful nation. And that we can come and worship you. Lord, help us to concentrate and remember and to study and to push forward the message of what you have in your word to us. Lord, help us to understand the principles in this word that you give us. Help us to teach others that same thing that's in the scripture. Speak to us this morning, and your name we pray. Amen. So as I said, the doctrine of the inspired word, right? The inspired word of God, God's word, right here, our Bible. My whole life has been based, after I came to know Christ, and truly came to know Christ, and understood who he was, and understood the scriptures, and still learning, right, to understand them more, and to live more according to God's word every day. Our whole world is based, as Christians, our whole thought, our whole mentality of how we live should be based on this book right here. And what we're finding is, and we see it in our world today, I was driving back from the shore, and we are just living in a world. Right? So here, we have a flag, we have the Christian flag up, and we have the American flag up. Last week, even in our White House, we have the American flag, and it's crossed out with the transgender flag. We're living in a confused world, and that's our flag that men have died for freedom, fighting for our freedom. And we have this confusion going on in our world, in our society. I was driving back from the shore, and I go through Philly, and as I'm going through Philly, all like big billboards, weed. You know, you get your medical marijuana, and you don't even need the card, so you can go get high. There's the casino, there's the massage parlor, there's the strip club, and then throughout the whole city, you just see the rainbow colors of the flag, and it's everything that's anti-God. As I drove through this city, that's 40 minutes from us. And then two weeks before in Reading, did you guys see this whole thing that took place? There was a Pride Day in Reading, and a man came up to the street. Did you guys see this? This was in Reading. This Pride Festival is going on, whatever, and across the street where you're free to speak, the public square, as Americans, we have the freedom to speak. It's America where we have the freedom of religion, right? That's what we need to hold on to. So this guy got saved. He was saved, and he was evangelizing, and this one guy came up, and he was taking a video of this, what's going on in Reading, Pennsylvania, and there's a small gathering, and there's people. They're doing a peaceful pride gathering, which they have the right to do, right? And there's a guy that came up to the street, and some cops came over to him and said some stuff to him about, hey, you can't say anything. He said, well, I'm on a public street. I'm an American. I'm free to speak. He wasn't there to yell, and he wasn't there to even criticize a lifestyle. He simply was there to say, God loves you, repent. Simple. He walks up to the street and has a sign that simply says, Jesus loves you, repent. He stands on the curb, and there's three Reading police officers that just spoke to him that turned around and walked back into the middle of the road. The guy comes up to the road with his sign, and he said, God! And those police officers ran over to him, Reading, put him in handcuffs, put him up against the wall, and arrested him. Reading, Pennsylvania. And, of course, it hit the news, and they had interviews with the guy, and charges were dropped. But that's Reading, Pennsylvania. Most policemen are acting like that towards Christians just for speaking. All that came out of his mouth was God. And they turned around and put their hands. let's open our Bible. And if you have the notes on the back, I started off with those notes. The last couple days, a lot of this stuff changed from those notes. So some of those will be correct, some of them won't. 1 Timothy 4. Open up to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. And remember, we are looking at God's inspired word, the Bible, the scriptures. 2 Timothy 4, Paul talking to Timothy, it says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come." This is the way we're going. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn away from their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Does that sound like where we are today? Our society is turning from a nation that obviously we know wasn't perfect. No nation is. No people are perfect. But we're turning from a nation that has held to biblical principles, the beginning of the founding of our documents, of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights. From, if you read every state's constitution, it all mentions God and the references that we have held to of God being more important than us as a nation is totally blown apart. I mean, we are living in a time that's right here that Paul talked about in verse 3. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine." That's where we are. And as I listen to people, and as I step back and then look at the doctrine of our scripture, that's what's being blown apart now. What do we have? We know Satan. And Satan is what? He's the father of all lies. We know that Satan is continuing to take this scripture of God's word, putting that little twist of a lie in there. Everything sounds good. To take the doctrine that God says, this is the doctrine that you should live by for a godly life, for a righteous life. This is the principle that I want you to live by. It's okay if I marry whoever I want to, man, woman, whatever. It's okay if I have an abortion. It's not really lucky. Okay if I'm just sleeping around with whoever I want to. It's okay if I lie and cheat on my taxes. It's okay if I steal from the government. It's okay if I steal from my neighbor. All these things that just compound. And Satan takes God's word, the inspired word of God, that we hold to as being inspired. So, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Just jumping right over. If we base, as believers, how we live on God's word, if we hold to God's word, and we hold to it, why? Because the Bible tells us God's word is God's word. And this is where we find that. All scripture is God-breathed. And I love the New Testament. Steve's not here today, but a lot of times, because I use the NIV. And the NIV does a great trick, because Steve's always like, well, the King James translation said this, and it said, so we go over that. And Roger, I know you like the King James translation. The NIV hits this Greek translation of inspired, God-breathed. The NIV hits that Greek word on this even better than the King James. Just had to throw that out there, but please aren't even there. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man, the woman, the human, the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we hold to Scripture as being God's Word, it's God breathed, it's God put His breath into these men, He inspired these men. They were prophets. They wrote these letters, and they wrote the law. And in the New Testament, because you know our apostles during the New Testament didn't have the New Testament that we have, and we're gonna break that down the next couple weeks on how that all came to get our current scriptures that we have today, that we study from, that we say are inspired. They were going back to the Old Testament. Saying God's word is God's breath into these men to put this document, to put this letter together that is inspired by God. Were they perfect? No. But God inspired them. God put His breath into their writing. This is what God wanted to have us know. I mean, God knows so much more than what we already know, right? He gave us the limited amount of stuff that we're supposed to know, that He wants us to know, because we can't understand the whole greatness of God. We just can't. And we can't put into a document, into a Bible, of everything God did. I mean, this thing would fill the room up and fill every computer in the world of how great God is. So we have what we have in this Scripture right here. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now we get to the problem today. And so as a church, and as Christians, this is what we should hold to. Now, what we're finding today is churches don't hold to that. Scripture, how can you not? The Scripture is telling us it's God-breathed. And we'll get into other passages next week, or actually not next week, in the next couple months. We'll be traveling, and then we can have next week over at Acts. And then we're going to start back up on this. But tons of scriptures that talk about God's inspiration of His Word. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the breakdown of how we pulled out how the New Testament is here. But what we find today is churches now across the United States aren't saying the Bible's inspired. Now, what we find, what Satan is, the deceiver, the great deceiver, not the little deceiver, and he's pulling out. I must have sand still caught in my throat from surfing. We like to surf, so. Yeah, well, not that I'm a good surfer, they're much better than me, but. Anyway. What we find in churches today, all across America, we find the watering down of God's Word, of sound doctrine. What Paul talked about to Timothy, he said, it's going to come, and we're here. Our churches are opening their pulpits to people that don't follow correct doctrine. That their ears are tickled because they just want to live the lifestyle they're living. And they don't care what Scripture says. And they're going to twist Scripture, have it say whatever they want it to say. We find that through churches throughout America right now. And it's this deconstruction. So we have a society that has been built on Christian principles, and now it's being ripped apart and being deconstructed. And it's being deconstructed now, aiming not at this generation, not so much even this generation, but it was starting with my generation, but it's going to that generation, you guys. Because you're the ones, the younger generation, they can take away the authority of God's word. Everything that we find in society today happening is true. Because if you don't have God's word as the basis for truth, God's word as the basis for our principles to live by, well, what is it? It's what I find on the internet constantly. Our kids are getting hit constantly. Well, you know, that's the Bible. That's, you know, they didn't talk about that. That's false. You can marry whoever you want. You can be any sex you want. You can have, you know, our states. We have battles now, which we all know, that our states are battling about mutilating our children. All for the name of a sex change or something, because this is what they think they are. So unscriptural what we're doing as a nation. It's this deconstruction, and we saw it, that they has been deconstructed from creation, like, right? So scripture tells us about the creation of the world. Deconstruction talked about, and I'm not sure when it started in public education, but then it gets the date. I should have looked that up. But then also evolution is the main form taught in school. Not creation anymore. We're talking about our nation, America, that one of the first books to ever be produced in school for study was the Bible. Now they're even taking it out of some school's libraries. This deconstruction to take away everything that the Bible stands for, so it can go straight to humanism. Nothing different than it's been at the beginning of time. But the church needs to stand strong for this. We need to continue to speak, and therefore, with that, we need to understand this principle, this word right here, of why this is so important, why we have to believe this is inspired. The Ten Commandments. About 10 years ago, at courthouses, they made the Ten Commandments. We have to get these off of public property, because this is separation of church and state. Deconstructing of the Ten Commandments. We see deconstructing of prayer. How many in here went to public school and in public school at the time had prayer? Right. Deconstruction. Boom. Take that out of there. You can't pray in public school. Take it out. It's deconstructed. Boil it down again. The beginning of life. A deconstruction in the beginning of life. Everything that we see about these deconstructions is a directly anti-Bible. You know, hey, life can start until maybe, I mean, now some states are the week after the baby's born. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, that's, so it's a reconstruction, and our younger generation, that's what they are hearing. That's what's being fed to them constantly. And that's why we see in the church today, we see a lot of empty slots where there's the youth have left the church. They've left the faith because they don't understand this piece of this book as being inspired God's word, because the marketing that's happening constantly from the internet, nothing wrong with the internet, but the marketing, it's these people, the myths, the story, the anti-Christian principles, constant. And they get their Bible, what, once a week? We're lucky. And we're supposed, this is God's word. Deconstruction of marriage. to the deconstruction of marriage. But now in every state, a man and a man can marry, and it's marriage. Scripturally, it's man and woman, right? Man and man, it's state, and that's a deconstruction of God's principles. A structure now, push now, is the man and woman. That a man can be a woman. And I read an article last week, maybe you saw it. Oh, this was like the best thing ever, that this first man was getting pregnant. Because it was a trans man, which is, so it was a woman, who is undergoing some surgery to finalize being transitioned, her sex, and she got pregnant during this transition too. But the world says this is a man that's now pregnant. This is the first man pregnant. I mean, the deconstruct the what's taking place, this deconstruction of even down to our own biology, that our generation now that we find is, yeah, it was easier to take away scripture, the creation of the world, because you can see that. That's really, we hold to faith that God created the world the way he did. But when you can take now down to the psyche of a person, knowing by standing naked in front of a mirror of what sexuality you are, and being convinced that you're the opposite sex. Does that pull out deception? And then where people and our governments and our doctors are willing to mutilate children to change. It's a deconstruction. And it's deconstruction from the original God intended sexual relationship. All these things that Scripture talks about, all these things that are from God's inspired word, the God-breathed word, are just being deconstructed and transmitted down our nation's growth and our society's growth. And as Christians, the guy in Reading goes up to the street and is willing to speak truth, they're getting slammed down, saying, who are you to say something about this group of people or something about what society's teaching over here? Because the basis for God's word is society. They don't pull to it. As Christians, the Bible tells us this is the inspired word from God. Society will say now to our kids, well, of course you say it's inspired, but that's from that book. It's just a book. And our kids have no basis to understand of why this is God's word. They hear it from a pulpit. They might hear it from a devotion. They might hear it from a family. But that's why the next couple weeks, I want to take this down and boil the history down of our Bible. Because some people say, well, the Catholics have a Bible, the Mormons have a Bible, the Protestants have a Bible. But we're going to boil this down. And there's a huge history that our kids need to understand to be firm on why we hold to this is God's truth. I've always said that there's a time that someone really understands who God is. There's a time in someone's life that something happens that they understand who God is. And if that doesn't happen, and you don't hold to this as being God's word, then we're open for all sorts of beliefs and systems and myths and things that take place. I know for me, I saw God's hand work in my life with a miracle that happened right before my eyes. And at that point, bam, I knew this word was 100% God-breathed, God-inspired, from beginning to end, from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, the last word that says amen, from cover to back, it was 100% God's word. And I knew at that time that that's where I needed to follow this. And Scripture tells us, and Paul talks about it earlier in Timothy chapter 3 earlier, that if we follow that, we follow the principles of God's word, we're going to be persecuted. That man that stood up and that went to, that's going to happen. And if we hold to God's word as we should, that's going to happen more and more of a persecution, because we're holding to the truth of God's word, where the outside world, which is dark, doesn't want to hear the truth of Scripture anymore. They want to do what? They want their ears tickled. They want the teachers around them that tell them, hey, that's an okay lifestyle to live. But it's not. They don't want the truth of Scripture. So yeah, I know I'm not going to, I have a lot more here. I can't even get to that. The next couple weeks, I want to step back as we look at this, because this is what, once again, I'm going to end with what Paul told Timothy, what we started with. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. I believe we're in those times. Instead, to suit their own desires, to suit the desires of the people that hear this word, they don't want it. Gather around them professors in colleges. They're going to gather around them pastors. They're going to gather around them priests. They're going to gather around them bishops. Whoever that is willing to not hold to this scripture as being God-inspired and tweaking it and changing it, because the father of lies is very apt to do that, and it makes sense, doesn't it? You can see it because you don't think about this. And I'm going to stop after this. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were perfect beings, walking with God, in God's presence. And the power of deception, even to those two perfect people that walked and communicated on a verbal level with God, were deceived. Even Adam and Eve were deceived. So now we find today, and I know for me, I'm far from perfect. Ask my family. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, let them pull out a scroll and say, whoa, here we go. What's that? Yeah.
But the deception is upon us. And I think that's why we need to understand. Because I think many times if people understood the inspired word of God from beginning and will understand the process that we have this scripture today, I think it's going to be perfect that people are going to fall away. No, they're going to fall away. We know that. But I think it will help us to train others and teach others of why this is the inspired word, other than saying, hey, God's really said. Because an outside person that's not a believer doesn't hold to this book of anything great. Heavenly Father God, I don't even know where to start, Lord. We're sitting here on this earth that you put us in. We know we're here at this time, and it's so confusing. And I pray for a younger generation that's here now that's being taught all sorts of deception and confusion and anti-scriptural things, Lord. And I look at it and I ask for a rising up of a younger generation that sees through the deception. That they can see that the God's word, that there's something here. And Lord, I pray and I ask for people to rise up throughout our country, throughout our world, that can stand on your principles. Even this guy in Reading, Lord, half an hour away, and you knew that time was coming, and it was captured on video, and here's this guy who all he's saying is repent. Just like you tell us, Lord, repent. Come to you. We love others, Lord. We want to love everybody. But we know that we need to repent. We know, as Christians and as people, we need to turn from our wicked ways and come and before you and lift and put our sins at your feet and say, Lord, save me, and turn and follow you. Lord, give us those opportunities. Help us to see those opportunities more and more in our life. Because the times are getting shorter, and we can see that. But you're in control, God. Lord, help us the next couple weeks to really understand in our hearts and in our minds of this truth of Scripture that you tell us has been breathed into these words by your breath, that we can understand that it becomes God's word, it's your word, Lord. Help us to study this and understand it. And thank you for all you do. Thank you for a great sunny day, Lord. Thank you for the rain that we had. And your name is Christ. Amen.